Welcome to the Behind Big Brother podcast. It is day 23 in the Big Brother house, and haven't we missed a couple of scheduled episodes? And we've certainly heard about it. So thanks to everyone for your concerns regarding our well-being and alcohol intake. Realistically, it all comes down to the fact that we have day jobs, and to survive our day jobs, we drink a lot in the evening, including weekdays and weekends. So often, you know, you can't record a podcast from a bed, especially when you're comatose. You can't even send a text message.
So let's recap on everything that's happened since the last podcast. It's been 2 weeks. There's been 2 evictions. So let's start with Sian's eviction.
Yeah, who? I actually liked her. I thought she was quite good. But she was, I think, the clear front runner to be evicted in the first week. I can't quite pinpoint what it is about her or those personality traits, but you just kind of know. I even think back to Angie from Big Brother 1. It was just clear that she was going to be the first one to go.
She did have first evictee written all over her. But then again, we thought that about Estelle. The thing is, it was a very classic first eviction where they come out on stage with Sonia and they start being interviewed, and you find out all these new things about this person that you never saw on The Daily Show. And you're like, oh, they're actually quite nice. I wish they were still in the house. But no.
It's that hard thing with the first few weeks as well, where there are 14 people in the house and 27 minutes a night or 43 minutes a night or whatever to get to know every single one of them. It's unless you're doing something outlandish. And also Sharnay, all of her packages were was all about her not hating, but being a bit down and not feeling like she was part of the group. And she was a bit of an outsider, and she had a breakdown once.
That's a classic first evictee thing as well. There was a quote like, oh, I feel like I'm trying to fit in with the popular girls at high school.
Yeah. And I don't feel envious for that kind of the production team having to put together these daily shows in the first few weeks. It must be so difficult. They're getting so much footage. Housemates up all the time. They have to pick storylines. They've got to pick something to make people watch. This is the most important time of ratings season because it's meant to be the highest.
I thought it was a whole different Sian on stage. She was clearly like working the audience. She is an entertainer. And she was loving life on that stage with Sonia. I think, and people have commented that I think she was glad to be out of the house.
Yeah. I think she'll go back to doing what she does. She seems like a pretty vivacious person and out there, and seemed to love her job and what she was doing with her life. It wasn't that she was going on this show to get a radio career or do a shoot in Zoom magazine. So I think we once again, and out of no fault of our own, really, I guess not choosing to save, have lost quite an interesting character quite early along.
So let's talk about the evictions in general, because this was the first time we saw evictions with Sonia. And how they were going to put it together. Few changes, no eviction couch, a pretty short wrap up with the housemate. They're very done and dusted. There's no like lingering ghosts of housemate past, so to speak.
I don't like that. I liked the couch and having a chat, not about the person, but having a chat about what that person thought about other housemates was always a really interesting insight into what's going on in the house.
Well, that's why I thought Sian would have more to do, and Ryan now would have more to do with the nominations show. I thought they were going to use the nominations time to ask the housemates what's going on, what they thought.
They're too busy spitting out a special every week, which we'll get onto, but there's not really a lot of time after cramming in the Daily Show and all that kind of thing. It's quite hard. I mean, there isn't a lot of time. They're kind of got to stand up and see you later and get rid of you. Like with the one with Ryan, where he practically ran off the stage when Sonia gave him the boot. He's like, see you later, bye. Who are you going to give your nomination special or some what embarrassing name they give it?
That was Ryan's eviction was another case where you find the person to be, the housemate to be quite a lot different once they're out.
How do you mean different? Stupider?
Well, people were like, before Ryan was evicted, people were like, oh, what an idiot. What a boof. And then he was evicted and basically pretty much shitting his pants on stage. There was a bit of dribble, I'm sure. A bit of nervous dribble.
Yeah, he definitely touched cloth.
But we saw in our forums, people started feeling sorry for the guy. They're like, oh, he really is just a fairly naive, innocent guy thrown into quite a complex situation where the whole nation is watching.
I think that he is just a complete jerk. Like, he's a rock with that looks like a human. Even like
the
some
thing is, if he was a jerk, it would be jerk with intention. I don't think he's a jerk at all. I think there's no bad intention there. There's just an IQ gap.
Yeah, he's not a Ray. I think Ray is a jerk, and we saw that in all of his previews.
Oh, we'll get to that later. I've scheduled a whole 30 minutes towards that.
I guess I did feel a bit sorry for him, but he clearly had been, I maybe didn't think this whole thing through, but had been thrown into this situation, which is fairly intense. But he definitely did not hold the interview well. Kind of could only grumble and say and it was quite nice to see anytime Sonia mentioned Estelle, which I found it was going to happen anyway, but Sonia seemed to pull the conversation along. Whenever she did mention Estelle, he kind of lit up, which was kind of, oh, that's pleasant. Also, you're probably not going to see her for a while because I think she's going to stay in the house for quite some time.
Let's talk about Sonia. I'm very impressed with her now. I think she's doing a great job hosting. She's really come out of her shell. She was touching some cloth of her own on the launch show. But yeah, she's really working it now.
I completely agree. She's doing really well. I mean, even Mike Goldman slipped up on the eviction show on Sunday, and she managed to hold it together. And I think I quite liked feeding off her energy when she was doing the second house announcement. I think she was clearly really excited about it, but managed to hold it together, read from the order queue, get it right. If she had fucked that up, the whole thing would have been out the window.
We'll talk about the second house in a second. We've got quite a lot to catch up on. Just a lot of little gags. Surly the Fish. How do we feel about Surly the Fish?
I think Surly the Fish with Michael, great. Absolutely loved it because he's the perfect housemate to pick to do that kind of thing. He's charismatic and he'll hold it together and he won't let the other housemates know. Whereas with Zoe, she dropped the ball. She really dropped the ball and made it really, really obvious. And she kept saying during her task, our housemates would ask her, what are you doing? And she'd say, I'm just cleaning the fish tank. And that draws attention to the fact that there's something happening in there, and Michael acted also a bit weird when he was cleaning the fish tank. I think it's gonna come undone quite soon.
There needs to be other little element, other little creatures in the house, or a tree like Big Brother UK did it.
Yeah, or a rock or something in the background. I like the fact that they're not using Surly the Fish too often. I think they've done it twice now in 4 weeks. That's a good amount of time, I think. So kind of slip it in every now and then and see what happens. Not try and ram at home constantly of, look at this fish, it's giving everyone a task. It's a nice touch.
I think the producers have recognized that they really don't have to use Surly all the time. It's a once every now and then kind of thing. And I think because Zoe stuffed up so bad last time, we won't see Surly for a little while yet. But I was very disappointed to see Surly with computer-generated lips during Big Brother Confidential. That was just... Blah.
Should we talk about Big Brother Confidential now?
We shall.
Do we have any kind of like vomit sound effect or that train smash sound effect? It is categorically terrible. I know we just ran a campaign to get Up Late on the air, but get Confidential off the air.
They have contracted hours, scrub Confidential and turn Friday night into a one-hour daily show. There's half an hour that you can reallocate.
It's so terrible. Just making it like a magazine, and a lot of the footage is, at least the first 10 minutes of footage, was stuff that we'd seen on other daily shows or slight extensions of it, or maybe I'd watched it on the website or something. It wasn't the stuff you don't see. It's all on the website. It's all available. We're not seeing new footage. I don't understand what this time slot is being used for. And it's rating terribly as well. People hate it.
I really don't have anything more to say about Big Brother Confidential because really I couldn't get past the first 10 minutes. It was so horrendous.
The occasional fart mention or a little bit of someone slips over or someone's having a hard time getting into the outfit. Actually, there wasn't even that. The closest thing was closest thing to the uncut of yesteryear was some vision of them having a shower in their pants and dancing. Great.
I'm just so visually stimulated over that idea. I just can't even...
In summary, avoid at all costs. Okay, we thought we'd go over a recap now that we're 20-something days in of each of our thoughts of each of the housemates. And we'll we can vote them in, what were you saying? Yawns? Something out of three yawns?
Oh, we'll just use a rating scale for each housemate that is applicable. Mm-hmm. So you start with Angie. We'll go alphabetically.
2 out of 3 yawns. Has some quite interesting, funny comments along the way. I'm not interested in her and Josh being together and wouldn't mind if she left.
I would be very impartial if she was shot out of a cannon, really.
Out of the house or just into the air?
Oh, in any direction. In any direction. Well, Angie, she's one of those filler housemates. She's the type that stays on for a little while but leaves sort of mid-season or maybe even towards the end. The couple thing is overdone. Every season there's this power couple and her and Josh are sort of a couple sometimes and sort of not. Just make up your mind. And the only redeeming factor is that she gets quite narky when she feels that the attention is not on her. That's what I've...
She has caused some quite good arguments, which I quite enjoy. Or just good discussions, really. Even when she broke down and cried with that whole Sarah thing, it was still interesting to watch. And an extended piece of The Daily Show where, you know, they want to show you that what went on in that segment.
And she does seem to be sort of the alpha female of one particular clique in the house. So, I mean, she does serve a purpose at the moment. So she gets 2 out of yawns from me as well. Moving on to Benjamin.
I think he's really good. I think he's a bitchy queer and he never denied it in his opening package. And he's one of those advice-giving housemates, but gives different advice to whoever it is that stumbles across him at whatever time of day, which I don't think is him being manipulative at all. It's just him just having a good time, having a chat.
He gets 5 out of 5 gold tiaras from me. I like Ben because he's quite intelligent and articulate, but he does have that bitchy factor. But as opposed to other housemates who are bitchy, he does it in a very funny way. And so what if it offends other people in the house? It's entertaining for us.
Yep. Great. And what about Bradley? Not a fan. Not a fan at all. I've got here on my notes, Bradley is boretastic. He really is boring. It's quite clear that he wouldn't normally fit in with any of these other housemates. And so he's developed this kind of odd persona, and I'm getting sick of seeing him kind of put down all the other housemates and not get pulled up for it because he's young, although it started happening in nominations now. But he just doesn't seem, he seems like this underdeveloped character that they've put into the house, and I think this will seriously and emotionally scar him, and he may end up in a mental institution in many years just speaking gobbledygook.
Well, I think something happened in the first week of the house that has affected him in that he thinks his way to bond, I think particularly with the guys, is to just be an all-around jerk.
Mm.
And he's being really rambunctious and saying all this, like, these snipey comments to housemates just out of thin air. And, like, the other night, Ryan finally cracked and threw it back at him, and he was a bit shocked.
Yeah, and well, we've got to remember that Benjamin threw that water at him because he just made some dumb comment as well. Like, you can't get away with that. You wouldn't get away with that in the real world. If he was out having some drinks at a pub or something and he said something like that about someone else's friend, he probably would have been glassed, at least if he lived in WA or Queensland. Maybe not so much Victoria. He would have been slapped by a thick scarf if he lived in Melbourne or something. I don't know. But unacceptable. Get rid of him.
Well, quick discussion about the water incident. I think Ben overreacted, but I think Bradley was being a dick.
I absolutely agree. I think he overreacted. You don't throw water at someone or splash something in someone's face. It was made up to be something more than it was on The Daily Show and on the internet as well, on the official website. But also it gave a lot of the other housemates something to nominate him for. And it kind of showcases the fact that little things mean massive things inside a Big Brother house.
So Bradley gets 2 out of 5 future Prozac pills from me. Mm-hmm. Sean gets 1,000 question marks out of who.
Yeah.
Do we have any more to say about Sean?
No, not really.
She's a lovely person, but she's first evictee, so bye. Estelle?
Also, no thanks. I think now that she does not have the Ryan storyline to be attached to, she's going to fade away into the background. She is a bit rash and she's been going through some kind of emotional breakdown this week. And I don't think the housemates are going to tolerate it much longer, especially with the second house thing. They're going to want exciting people in there and they're going to want to get the most out of their time. And she just doesn't seem to be doing it.
With Ryan gone, the average age of the house is slowly creeping back up again, and the older housemates obviously don't want a bar of Estelle. She's whingy, she's self-centered, she thinks she knows everything.
She can't rap.
She wears emo glasses even though she's a rapper. I don't understand the glasses.
She's badly put together. Badly put together. George.
We didn't rate Estelle.
Oh, right. I rate her 0.5 out of 2
broken Avril Lavigne records.
Yeah, absolutely.
George gets 1 out of 5 lumps of coal from me. What is he doing?
What is he doing in the house? Why did they pick him? Did they just pick him for the millionaire secret thing? Does he go around with a millionaire sticker stuck to his head? He doesn't offer anything to the house. And he kind of speaks like a Neanderthal who's learnt bad English. He seems to be part of this group that was Ryan, Ray, and himself, and Josh to a certain extent, but would kind of just mumble along to whatever Ray was mumbling or whatever Ryan was mumbling, but didn't seem to be offering anything to any of the conversations and was kind of bumbling fool.
He just seems to be there to be like, oh yeah, she'll be right, mate. I'm the token Aussie, and every now and then I cop a feel with Layla. Moving on. Josh?
I don't mind him.
Yeah, but I feel Josh is one of those middle-of-the-road housemates, just like Angie. They're just there to fill the gap till mid-season.
Yeah. Interestingly, I don't find him as slightly infuriating as I find Angie, though. And I find their relationship is fueled by her more than it's fueled by him, maybe because she talks about it a bit more from what we've seen. But I find it really interesting the way he changed and kind of started making these comments on Monday's show when they talked about the second house and how they were going to react. And he was like, this isn't going to affect us. Let's just keep doing what we've been doing. We really like each other. We're really getting along. I like you, all you guys. I don't have a problem with you. That was a side that I'd not seen to him before and thought maybe with the second house thing, it could be coming out more and he might be trying to be more himself or less attached to Angie now that there are potentially, in their minds, 28 housemates and you have to be individual. Might be giving him more credit for what he's worth then. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really have an opinion either way about Josh. He gets 2 out of 3 half-smoked joints from me.
Layla.
Layla gets like 1,000 glasses of goon out of 1,000.
Yeah, I just want to drink with this girl. I think she'd be really, really good time and just have a lot of fun. I think she plays up the stupid card a bit much sometimes, but I don't particularly mind it. I really like watching her. I like the segments that she's in. She doesn't seem to be part of any of the cliques in the house. And she seems to be just rolling along and having a good time. And I quite like that kind of housemate, as long as the house isn't completely filled with that type.
Yeah, she's just naturally fit in and she naturally has a good time with whoever she's around. Maybe not Estelle, but she just rolls with it and she does act a bit ditzy, I feel, sometimes, but it seems genuine and it's endearing and it's really entertaining to watch and she's just a fun person to have on camera.
She gets 10 out of 10 crates of yellow from me. Michael, I am not his biggest fan. I like the way that the second house thing seems to have completely fucked him over. He looks genuinely concerned or close to a mental breakdown. Really confused about what's happening, doubting what Big Brother has done. I think he is going to react well, and by that I mean he's going to have a breakdown to these mind games that Big Brother is playing. And even with the hair thing, as soon as Big Brother said, how does your hair make you feel, or what does your hair mean to you, he practically flipped out internally. You could see that his soul was being destroyed, and I like that.
When in the first week, we saw Michael throw in a few gems there, particularly Ryan's way. He did not approve of Ryan. But I feel lately he's sort of just sunk into the middle ground and he doesn't really want to step on toes at this point. I think maybe because of the reality of nominations and evictions has hit hard. But he just sort of floats in between now. I'm not seeing any of the intellect that I saw in the first week.
Maybe it's actually just a facade and doesn't actually exist. I actually do have a theory, which I was going to talk about earlier when we were going to record this before Ryan had been evicted. And that was that Ryan has actually just his presence has been bringing the IQ of the rest of the housemates down by being close to him by some kind of IQ sapping osmosis. And maybe that's why we saw Ryan have an okay conversation with Sonia on the eviction stage, because he'd dragged out through some alien superpower a bit of Michael's IQ. They were all acting like children when Ryan was around, just having mumbling, bumbling conversations about nothing and getting into arguments with each other and just, yeah, chicks and pussy and beer. And I can only imagine the stuff that we don't see on The Daily Show is just all just common suburban trash.
What a bunghole.
What a bunghole.
Okay, moving on to Ray. Now, this is the part where you have to put aside 30 minutes to listen to my rant.
And go.
Ray gets 10,000 piles of vomit in a meat market nightclub out of 1,000.
Why don't you like him, Tim?
Well, let me count the way. No, but like, it's the same deal that we're starting to see the true personalities of the housemates come out. In the first week, he seemed like a bit of a run-of-the-mill nice guy. Who could immediately start hating a veterinarian? I mean, I thought veterinarians were all lovely. Clearly, he's the exception.
Not to mention a veterinarian with like a French bulldog.
He's just grown into this persona of being...
Oh, shit.
Watch the mic. He's grown into this persona of just being this Neanderthal who is trying to rally up a boys' club. He clearly has homophobic tendencies towards Ben.
Not a fan of Ben at all. And for apparently no reason as well. Even when Ben tried to talk to him about it, it didn't seem to have come out why he didn't like him. It was quite bizarre.
And during that conversation, a lot of things came out that we had not seen in the Daily Show before. And Ben saying that Ray had called him a poof, jokingly.
Yeah, we missed that.
Yeah, that wasn't shown before. We wouldn't have known about that otherwise. And Ray's response to all of this was, oh, it was a joke. It was a joke. That is the number one reason that homophobic guys pull when they pull shit like this.
It was a gag. I was just using it as a word. It didn't mean that you were gay.
And I mean, pick up the newspaper, read it from last week. I don't recall the player's name, but some AFL player was fined for throwing homophobic comments at another player. And his defense was, oh, it was a joke. If we can't joke around on the field, then what can we do? No, the response that it's a joke is not a defense. This is 2012. Get with it, Ray.
Call someone a jerk and then say it's a joke. Don't use some kind of homophobic term or any kind of phobic term against anyone.
And the same thing happened when he danced aggressively to Sarah. Mind you, I think Sarah did take it a little harder than the situation really was. But Ray's response to Sarah was, oh, it was a joke, I was just playing around. And he scuttles around the issue to make it appear as if it's an apology when really he's not taking responsibility for the situation at all.
I wonder what his friend circle is like after that Sarah thing, which I think a wooga called the Wambulance. I think she definitely did overreact a bit. But what kind of people is he hanging around with that has formed this person or the way that he reacts with others? And it seems like when he hangs out with the guys, that's just a kind of what guys do when they hang out. But then the way that he interacts with others, especially one-on-one with the Benjamin thing or whenever you see him having regular conversations with just one other person, he seems to... I don't know, maybe he's socially awkward or something, always around pets and veterinarian nurses or something, but he doesn't seem to be able to hold anything together outside of being in a pack.
He's a rambunctious bunghole and he dances terribly.
He ain't got no sissy bounce. Now, Sarah, I'm in two minds about her. She's the one that I can't make a decision about. I think she is taking on this mother character in the house, which always exists in every single Big Brother house I've ever borne witness to. But I don't think it's quite wanted, not by the younger housemates, not by the older housemates. And she doesn't seem to personally be interested in having that position either, but she acknowledges that she does have it. I don't know, and I can't formulate my opinion on her.
She really is the Julie Chen of the house. And if Julie Chen is the host of Big Brother USA, and she's a very bland, boring person. And I can't understand if Sarah is genuinely bland or if that's just the way that's just a front, or I don't know. It's weird.
Maybe that ridiculous cowboy hat that she keeps wearing, which I can't tell whether it belongs to Zoe or whether it's some kind of message to the outside world of when she wears this hat, she's thinking of her boyfriend or something. I'm not really sure, but it doesn't seem to fit with her. She sells cars. You don't wear a cowboy hat when you're selling cars. You probably wear a two-piece suit.
Maybe she sells pickup trucks to to men true. In the country.
Yeah, one-ton rodeos or something.
I don't have much more to say about her.
Nah, she's, okay. I don't hate her. I don't particularly want her to go as much as I want other housemates to go, aka Bradley, Michael, George, Estelle, Ray.
Let's move on to Stacey, who gets 10 million glasses of champagne out of 10 million.
Yep, slopped in those classy glasses that we're drinking them out of. What are they called? Marie Antoinette glasses.
She is just a gem. She is like the most entertaining person in the house.
She's great. My only qualm with her is that she invents stupid phrases like nom noms, although I think that came from Michael. But bits and pieces like that, which I think are destroying the English language. But hilarious. That thing when she made the Kylie Minogue pants with the cushion.
That was fantastic. I mean, she is just an automatic source of entertainment. She'll just create fantastic viewing out of nothing.
Yeah. And the task thing where they gave her that, the cutout of, what's his name?
Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling. Just so good. Like, make her have to walk around with that. She put it in the pool. She slept with it. Really took on the task really well, as opposed to Ray, like, oh, I don't want to eat anything. She's great.
I would love to be in a spa with 10 bottles of champagne lined up and Stacey. We would just have the biggest laugh of all time. It would be fantastic.
She's really good and clearly both of our favorites.
And then we move on to Zoe.
Out of all...
She gets 1 out of 5 cow pats.
I'll give her at least 2.5. I think that...
At least if they're fresh cow pats. 2.5 fresh cow pats.
I did like her more than most of the other female housemates up until watching the nominations show just now. So the show they aired on Monday, where they did the second house package and whatever. And then she came into the diary room with this really disgusting sense of entitlement, that we're the first house and we're the real house and we deserve to be here. And who are these people? And they're all ugly. Rah, rah, rah. I did not like that at all. And saying, you know, that people didn't go out there and give up their lives. I gave up my life to come on this show. What?
I gave up my life to come on Big Brother. That's a nice one, Zoe. Let's use this as a segue to talk about the second house. It was actually very freaky to see the housemates' reactions once they started believing there really was a second house. This weird mob mentality, like, we have to run out with our pitchforks and fire sticks and burn those fuckers down. And I think Zoe is particularly inclined that way because she's very... No boat people. I don't like others. I don't like the other people. The other house is the other tribe and we have to conquer them because we're animals.
Yeah, she will be riding the chariot into the morning sun with her army of other housemates behind her, pitchforks and flaming arrows trying to get at them.
But even the other housemates were mirroring this, not to such a harsh degree, but they're all sort of like, what about us? We're the housemates. We're in the house. We're special.
I, as a whole, really, really love the second house idea. I think that maybe there were some points where it wasn't executed as well as it could have been, but you always have hindsight and, hey, I'm not the executive producer of Big Brother. But the way that the housemates have reacted and watching it on Sunday and Monday has made me, like, put a grin on my face. Like, yes, this is the kind of mental games that I really, really like out of Big Brother. And the same thing happened with the yes-no task last week where they asked Ray if he wanted to cut his hair off, and same with Michael, and then put Layla's favourite auntie on the phone. Those kind of mind games are reminders that this show, your life is in the hands of someone else. Someone else is calling the shots here. You've given it up.
What I do like is that a significant amount of effort has been put into these as well, as opposed to the regular tasks where you're sitting on a motorbike or you have to get up and dance to some music. Like, some effort was put into getting Layla's auntie's voice recorded, or whether Layla's auntie really was on the phone or whatnot, and putting together fake housemate clips. And
yeah, I think the entire task budget probably went on the STD call to get Layla's auntie on there, because the yes no sign in the backyard was terribly embarrassing.
Was tacky.
With some like Christmas lights from Bunnings.
Just thinking Christmas lights
and that really bad sound effect.
They just got like two interns. Like, we're going to pay you 50 cents an hour to put together a Christmas tree. Yes, no light.
But the second house.
Oh, and they would have had to spend a fair bit of money to rent that snake from Dreamworld as well.
That's true. Yeah. Carted over. I think that the second house, I was saying to you earlier, I think my watching that package that they put together of it, to me, it seems really fake and produced and the windows are all black and that kind of thing. But I think when perhaps when you're in the Big Brother house, you're open to believe anything. Anything Big Brother shows you, any kind of outside stimulus, which is why I think Stacey is so interesting, because she's clearly very bored and so she's just creating things to do. And the same with Benjamin. But this idea of there being a second house, something else to think about, something to rack your mind over that's not an eviction nomination, got to do a task, is the exciting part of Big Brother. And we're going to see, this week is going to be very, very interesting. I don't think it's going to be the best Big Brother in Big Brother history, as one of the executive producers went sprouting late last week to the media, but it's certainly going to be interesting.
I've liked it so far, but I did have to laugh when on Sunday night, as soon as they did the accidental show of Sonia on the screens, there was some very bad editing and it was Layla going, "Oh, it's fake. It's fake. It's fake. It's fake. No, 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 guys, it's fake." And then it cuts immediately to Sonia going, "Yes, we fooled them. We fooled them. Yes." I was like, "Oh, honey, no."
They seem to do that quite a bit, actually. The housemates are saying something and they cut to Sonia and she's reading from the auto cue and it's completely different to what's going on inside the house. Oh, the wonders of live/scripted television. Actually, one thing about Sonia, not so much about Sonia, but about the script writers, is that she seems to be really hammering home this live message. After every ad break or just before every ad break, you're watching the Big Brother eviction show live. You're watching the Big Brother nomination show live. Okay, I get it. I can see the audience and I can hear the really embarrassing cheering going on in the background.
Well, in reality, the show is anywhere between 3 and 15 minutes late. And if you're in WA or South Australia, just forget it. No way it's live. We've talked about this before. Maybe it's because mornings aren't live and she's getting very excited about doing live television or something.
She's,
I don't know.
So excited. Other than that, she's great. It's the script writer as well. And she does wear nice outfits as well.
She's got a nice sissy bounce going on.
She's got the great sissy bounce. I almost used the word bunghole then, but then thought it would be completely inappropriate.
I just have to mention something that I really hated, and that it was day 21 and already we're getting blatant cross-promotion with other Channel 9 shows.
Oh, the House Husbands thing. Oh, vomitorium.com. Oh, it was terrible. It was really, really terrible. And they didn't even show us it. They kind of showed the opening sequence where there was some kind of men tumbling around with children. And then just the little thing at the bottom, House Husbands begins after 60 minutes. Like, that's a badly executed promo.
Oh, and by the way, those subtitles are becoming, the subtitles with like Nova FM and NW Magazine, they're becoming so frequent, they're actually like covering up the time subtitles in the house. Jeez.
I think maybe we only notice that because we write the recaps, and if the time isn't on there, I get really frustrated because it's clearly gone forward 3 hours and they've not put a time thing there because a KFC Twister was floating across the screen or something. Actually, I had one thing to talk about, the daily shows and the way they're put together now, which is this flashback to a previous time when housemates were talking about things. Sometimes housemate has conversations or talk about an argument they had, and then they show in black and white and slightly sped up that conversation that those housemates have had. I've noticed it a couple of times now, and it's more and more like seeing an episode of SVU or something like that, or even a film, really. But I think it does add an extra element, because if you did miss a daily show or you didn't watch all of it, you can kind of catch up as to what happened, and also if what the housemates are talking about actually did happen or how they remember a situation playing out and if that was close to reality or not.
Yeah, it makes the show more accessible. It adds context. I don't like when they do things like the House Husbands thing. I remember there was a very interesting conversation between Sarah and Estelle happening, and it just cut away midway through the conversation after Sarah was basically shutting Estelle down, saying, "No, I'm talking. You will be quiet. It's my turn to talk."
And then let me finish.
Then suddenly snap to, "The housemates are being given a treat tonight. Boring. We don't care."
No. And the show was going to rate pretty well anyway. It was a premiere. Nine's doing some pretty good stuff. Lots of people are tuning in. Like, it doesn't need to be cross-promoted. Oh, I don't think not a single person in Australia would think to themselves, oh, my favourite housemate watched this show. I'm going to watch it. No way. No one has that thought. Ever. It might have been a slight reminder of, oh, yeah, it's on tonight. I'm going to watch it. But I think there'd be a large population that tune out of Big Brother when 60 Minute comes on because they're just not into that kind of show and probably don't return to Channel 9. So trying to cross promote. At least we're not seeing cans of Coke and, like, remember when I think it was Pizza Hut or Domino's was a sponsor and every party they were delivered these towers of pizzas and there was zoom ins on the pizza and whatnot. At least we're not seeing that just yet. But who knows? A Ford could be heli lifted into the back of the...
You mean a Holden.
A Holden.
Blasphemy. Blasphemy.
A Holden could be, yeah, lifted into the back of the compound at any moment. I thought we'd talk about Little Sis. As we mentioned earlier in the podcast, we couldn't do this any sooner because we were completely, comatose.
We ran into Little Sis while we were at the pub.
Yeah.
She was sprawled out on the bar, butt naked.
Clutching a bottle of Amel.
Yeah, and asking for anyone who had cocaine.
She's a trash hoe. Her bunghole was completely on display. She was wearing this mini skirt. I think actually at one point in the evening, she was wearing tights with diamantes down the side and maybe a really, really unsuitable animal print wedge.
From Supre.
What an embarrassing hoe.
In all seriousness, get this thing off the website, the official website.
Her posts are so long and just filled with links to try and increase their SEO ranking or something. It's a real joke. Like, it's not a fan. They're all just trash.
I think she said in one post the other day, it'll make you laugh so hard your stomach will start hurting. No, Little Sis, your stomach hurts because of all the drugs you've ingested.
Yeah. And words like fucking and shitting, she's tried to use in the blog, but put stars in front of it. I'd like to meet the person who writes it. I really would. Just have a chat.
They'd probably punch us.
Do you think it's actually a girl?
No, hell no. Well, if it is a girl, it's a 35-year-old woman who works in PR. I recognize people's writing anywhere.
I'd like to point out while we're on the subject of the official website that they are presenting more and more of this. I'm doing imaginary quotes with my hands now. Live video thing. There's more and more video footage coming, which is quite enjoyable. And if you follow it a few times a day, you can kind of catch the most interesting conversations. But of course, when anything slightly controversial happens, like the splash in the water, no vision of it whatsoever. They'll talk about it on the live updates, but you will not see a video compilation of it until that Daily Show has aired the night before, which I get it. They're trying to get people to watch the show, la-di-la-di-la. Actually, what do you think about cutting the Sunday Daily Show and combining it into the launch package?
Terrible. I still stand by my previous comments that the Daily Shows are going very strongly. They're put together really well. And we're finally getting proper hour-long daily shows, and it really demonstrates how much extra you can get with an hour. Like, it's just it's a much more richer Big Brother experience. It just feels more complete, seeing more of the house. And when you switch back to the 30-minute episode on Friday, it's back to Diet Big Brother, and you wonder how you could ever have done with 30-minute episodes in the past. And then you get round to Sunday and they're supposed to fit all of Friday and Saturday into about a 20-minute slot. I presume that Friday and Saturday nights were when the most amount of things were going to happen. That's when they have parties. That's when they've completed tasks. Someone's usually in the captain's quarters. That's when there's the opportunity for the most amount of footage to be shown. I just don't understand why the Sunday Daily Show was shafted.
And it also seems that on Monday's Daily Show, it starts from when the eviction happened, which means you're missing out a whole day, really, up until 7:30 or 8 p.m. or whenever it is that the housemates are evicted. You're just seeing the aftermath of it. It doesn't, like, surely they're doing something on Sunday as well. That's why we have these Daily Shows, to know what happened the day before.
Look, I understand ratings and how it works, but really, it just be sensible. get rid of Big Brother Confidential, allocate that half an hour back to Friday's Daily Show so it runs for an hour, bring back the Sunday Daily Show. I don't know, I'd like to see Sunday Daily Show go for an hour and then have a very snap eviction.
I read something somewhere about the changeover from watching the Big Brother show, the Daily Show on Sunday on Go, and then flicking over to Channel 9 proper and watching it there, and how that might have been ostracizing people. But I disagree with that. I think that it was the only one that we saw. Mike Goldman said at the end, now flick over to Channel 9 for the thing. And it's something new in Australian television, but it happens all over the world. American television is filled with it, with cable channels having multiple offerings and flicking over from one to the other. Even a Big Brother case in UK Big Brother where, what was it, E4 or Channel 4 or something, had to show the most show and then you'd flick over and watch the aftermath on another channel.
Yeah, The Daily Show was on C4. The talk show was on T4.
Yeah.
And it was just then about- the live streaming was on E4.
It was just about educating audiences to flick over. And I think now that we have all these digital channels and more bandwidth becomes available, we're going to see more of it. You're going to need to flick over to get the most out of a live TV show experience, which, let's face it, is mostly reality television.
Yeah, it is 2012. Most of us have a set-top box and we're not idiots. Just let us switch between Go and Channel 9.
I don't even have a television.
No, neither do I. I'm beyond television.
You're so far beyond television. That's so postmodern. One last thing I would like to open the floor to discussion about is that now that we're 20-something days in, we've seen Secrets of Boys, Secrets of Girls, The Second House come out, Surly the Fish. What else has been on in there? Yes, No. Housemates coming in at different, like staggered over the first few nights. It seems that they're pushing out a lot of stuff. Whereas this House 2 thing, I feel like could have been saved until later in the season. Might have had slightly more credence with some of the housemates that were more skeptical if it had happened later. When are we going to get just a Big Brother week? Are we going to get just a regular Big Brother week? Way back when, there wasn't something big happening every week, and maybe in the later Channel 10 seasons there were, but when are we going to just have a normal time where an eviction happens, then nominations happen the next day and a weekly task happens, and then it kind of cycles over again? Is Channel 9's philosophy that they've just got to keep pumping out exciting things and getting people to tune in on a Sunday, and there seems to be this machine going on where we kind of hear whispers that something interesting is going to happen earlier in the week, and then it kind of comes out a bit more, and then it's all over the media on late Thursday, Friday, and the weekend, and pushing you to watch the Sunday show, and then it happens, and the cycle starts again. Like, when, I don't know, do you feel that?
I do feel there is a bit of a media cycle with what is going to be the featured gag that week, or the next week. But I don't think we are going to see a regular Big Brother week. It's 2012. We've already had 8 seasons of Big Brother. We know what it's all about. I think the only way you'll keep people watching is to have a gag every week. And that's just the nature of reality TV now.
But look at a show like Australian Idol or MasterChef or something like that, where it's been going for a while now, and there's not the idea of there's already intruder talk in the Big Brother house. It's only a couple of weeks in. That's a format that keeps chugging along, and I don't know.
Intruders usually do come in between days 30 and 20 and 30. That's the general pattern for Australian Big Brother.
I suppose it does get normal towards the end when you're really cutting down the housemates and there's less that you can do because you've got less group dynamics in there because there's only a couple of people in there. And I do recall the last weeks of the house, especially that one that Trevor was in, was boredom. I'd probably switched off by then and just stopped watching the daily shows altogether, and the podcasts had just become our own personal diaries. But yeah, maybe I don't know how, maybe I'm just being a bit impartial or wanting the Big Brother of yesteryear when it was all new and it was all exciting in its own context without having to throw other stuff in.
I say bring it on. Let's cheese this motherfucker up. Not to the point where it's Americanized crap, but I like the direction that's going at the moment. I'm just a bit wary that they might run out of steam.
Seeing as the weekend is coming up, and by that I mean it's 8:51 on a Tuesday evening, we might not, you know, do a podcast for a week or two. So maybe we should just talk about the future. And out of the three housemates that are nominated, which are Sarah, Ray, and is it Bradley? I think it's Bradley. Yeah. Who would you A, like to see go, and B, think will go?
Well, I want to see Ray go because he's a douche. And wait a minute, what do you mean we're not going to do a podcast again?
Who knows what might happen? I would definitely like to do another one. I love doing this thing.
Okay, I want Ray to go, but only because I have this foul hatred towards him because he's a Neanderthal boof. But I know that Sarah will go. It's just classic voting pattern.
Yeah, Sarah will go, Ray will have the second amount of votes, and Bradley will, for the second week running, hear that he has the most save votes.
And he'll get such a big head that he'll be a douche to all the other housemates and they'll nominate him again.
I just had a vision. What if, because Bradley started working out, what if...
Has he?
Apparently. Well, there was a few clips of him doing it and some mentions on the website.
What a hot babe.
Yeah. What if he turns into... What if he develops the body of Ray as the series progresses and then leaves the house as a complete muscletron? It would be spectacular. But I don't want to stick around and see it. Bradley's boring. Get rid of him.
An entire Dream World auditorium full of teenage girls will be sliding off their chairs.
Woo!
What if he becomes completely corrupted in the Big Brother house and leaves as this, like, giant megalomaniac sex god?
Turkey slapping everyone left, right, and center.
Yeah, he gets kicked out because he single-handedly turkey slapped every housemate within 6 minutes.
That'd
and killed Surly. Flushed him.
He ate Surly. Actually, that was one of my favorite moments from Big Brother last week, when the housemates were so hungry that Layla suggested to George that they should eat Surly. I thought that was really funny. In summary, save Layla. I think it's time to wrap this thing up.
Yeah. So we'll be back next week, despite what David says.
Oh, we'll definitely be back. My hangover is practically gone on a Tuesday. Thanks for listening to the Behind Big Brother podcast. I'm David, and that's Tim, and we'll see you. You'll hear from us real soon. Good evening.